Welcome to Satiate, a women's integrative health and soulful living podcast, and a place where you can explore your path to greater peace, joy, and personal liberation with food and life. I'm Sue Van Rays, and I'm so happy to be here with you. I'm the founder of Boulder Nutrition here in Boulder, Colorado. I'm a functional nutritionist, food psychology specialist, yoga instructor, and author of 2 books. I also lead women's wellness and yoga retreats, both locally and internationally. It is my mission and my absolute passion to support healing the feminine through food, mind-body connection, and pleasure. Because how we eat is how we live. There's no separation. So I created Satiate as a place to explore all different kinds of potent conversations, leading you and me deeper and deeper into the wisdom that lives inside of us. This place, our true nature, is always wise, always well, and always whole. And it can act as our North Star in everything we do. And most of all, if you are here, you know that as you satiate all levels of your being, body, mind, heart, and soul, you not only fill up your internal well, but you also have more to give to your great circles of life. Thank you so much for being here with me, and I'm so excited to share Satiate with you. I want to take a minute and introduce you to my very own book coach and dear friend, Joelle Hahn, and her business is called The Brooklyn Book Doctor. Joelle is a book coach who helps authors discover their ideas, harness their creative process, develop their proposals, and write their books. Her clients have been published with Big Five and independent presses such as Tarcher Perigee, North Star Way, Harper Wave, Workman, Wiley Sounds True, Shambhala Publications, and more. They are top CEOs, world-changing humanitarians, coaches, scholars, moms, midwives, herbalists, entrepreneurs, and more. Joelle's own writing has appeared in the New York Times, Yoga Journal, Time Out Magazine, Poets and Writers, and on NPR and McSweeney's, among many other venues. She has been a writing fellow at the Writers Institute of the City University of New York's Graduate Center and at New York University. Joelle is actively writing and publishing her own work, and she knows what it means to be edited and coached. She treats her authors with the same rigor, intelligence, and kindness that she wants for her own work. Joelle has been incredibly integral in my author journey, and we also developed a very sweet friendship along the way. And so it is very special and very exciting for me to share this intimate interview where Joelle interviews me about my book coming into the world on April 9th and how that has been and some of the most important and growth type aspects of my journey as an author. And thanks to her work and her support and the many hours we've spent together working on my proposal and other things as time went on, I am just so grateful to have her in my life and then to be able to share her with all of you. So let's dive into today's slightly unique version of my podcast, Satiate, where Joelle interviews me and we have a really fun conversation to share with you.
Okay.
Hi, Joelle.
Hi, Sue. Hi. So excited to talk to you today.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk to you too. It's always really fun to be with you and to just, you've helped me through so many phases. Thank you for being on the podcast today.
Of course, it's my pleasure. What a fun thing to do. And you have been a published author for exactly 1 week.
That is true. I hadn't even actually thought of that. That's funny. Yes, 1 week it has been, and it has been quite a week.
I'm sure you've had a lot of parties, a lot of launches, a lot of events, a lot of celebration, and it's so fun to watch you go through this after the journey that it is to bring a book together. We know because we worked on a portion of that. But I'm sure there are many times when you wondered whether you'd get to this moment, but here you are.
Yeah, for sure. There was times, of course, where I'm like, is this like, how is this story going to unfold? It's so crazy to be just along for the ride and just kind of seeing what happens. And it's also got a definite level of magic that seems to come in and like, boost the acceleration at certain points, or at least that's what it felt like for me.
So I have some questions for you that I hope is helpful for your listeners too. Things that we kind of take for granted, but maybe they need to be spelled out again because actually they have a deeper story to them. And then I also want to know what it feels like to be an author from your perspective. But first I want to dig into something that I love to do. I love to brainstorm titles. My clients love to brainstorm titles. It can be so revealing to what actually the book wants to be. But then it becomes this journey when the publisher also gets involved in that. So tell us about your, first of all, tell us what the title of your book is. So we hear it all, title and subtitle, and then tell us about this title. What does it mean to you?
Yeah, thank you. So Food and Freedom, and the subtitle, Discover Your Personal Recipe to Eat, Think, and Live Well. Yeah, wow. This title has actually been an incredible journey, but I feel like we really landed on something that just hit home for me. As you know, my book started off with a totally different title when I wrote my proposal, and then my agent wanted me to change that title, and then I got to the publisher, and we finally like hashed out like, I don't know, 10 or so different titles, and it just took a while for everyone to get on the same page at the publishing company. And you know, where we got to with Food and Freedom really seems to me like simple and straightforward and in layman's terms, but also there's so much to the title, obviously, like if we go a little bit deeper. So I guess I could do that.
Yes. What does food and freedom mean to you?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because obviously food is so front and center in our lives and something that so many of us struggle with. And there's so much food stress out there, whether it be being just overwhelmed, being confused, not knowing what to eat, getting mixed messages, seeing how externalized and sort of toxic diet culture can be and feel, you know, it's just a whole thing. And so food, I really love that that's in the title because it really like draws the people in who need support in various ways. But really the most interesting part of the title, I think, is the word freedom. And it's a very common word, and I'm glad for that. But also, as you and I both know, having done a lot of different kinds of spiritual practice and a lot of different things in our life that have helped us become who we are and more in tune with ourselves, freedom really landed for me in this title because I feel like when we're stressed or when something has power over us, and food is 100% one of those things that can have power over us, you know, we don't feel free. We feel like constricted. We feel stressed. We feel like shut down around it. We feel like it is controlling our lives. And in sometimes, a lot of times, in really unhealthy or really sabotaging ways. And so when I think about food and freedom, I envision us coming to the table metaphorically and physically, being able to really tend to ourselves with much more love, with much more awareness, with much more agency, so that we can like use food in a way that is pleasurable, that gives us life force, that is nourishing and health inducing. And it's also gives us the space to be who we are and not be bogged down by it. And lately I've been using it this way. It's a very different thing when we have it with food versus food having us. It's a very different thing. And I feel like when we've got it, when we've got food, there's power and freedom in that. So sometimes we have to turn the tables a little bit and switch up that dynamic.
Can you say a bit more about that? That's really intriguing. When we have food, what is that versus when food has, when we have freedom with food, what is that like? Versus, say, for example, how clients come to you needing help.
Yeah. I think this is common in many areas of our lives, and that is that things that we don't feel like we have power over tend to consume us and bring us down and kind of, I'm trying to think of the right word here, but they throw us off balance. And that could be so many different things. It could be our relationships. It could be our relationship to money. It could be trauma. It could be stress that we've been carrying or old wounds. And food often is connected to those things as sometimes a symptom or often a way in which we comfort ourselves through the different kinds of stress and struggles we have. But it also, and that can be wonderful. Like it can be nourishing and really comforting in a really healthy way, but it can also get really exacerbated and really overwhelming where we feel like we are just lost in this dynamic with food that really takes us over and leads us down roads that we don't love. And I'm sure there's many different examples of that, but just ways in which that we find ourselves, you know, destructive to our own body. And that is not freedom.
Right. That is not freedom. So I'm really captivated also by this word recipe, your personal recipe in your title, in your subtitle. So I know that this is something that was in your proposal when I first saw it, and it's now in your title. So tell us a bit more about what it means to have a personal recipe to eat, think, and live well.
So as you know, Joelle, since you've worked with me a lot, like I love food metaphors to begin with. So that's one thing that recipe really holds, both a metaphor and an actual opportunity for us to customize how we move through our relationship with food and life that works for us. And one of my biggest pet peeves in the world is one-way approaches to things, because right out of the gate, when I hear a one-way approach to anything, I'm generally just like, whoa, because how can that be? We're all so unique. And when we start to look at food and our bodies and our metabolisms and our unique energies and our unique digestions and all the different things that we have within our own beings, I believe that customizing is the way to finding freedom with food, but also to just feeling good in our bodies and to feeling energized and in our power and to feel like we're moving through life without this big burden. So to kind of like circle back, recipe writing in this context is handpicking what stands out in the book and in what I call the food and freedom formula, so that by the end of the journey, you actually have some of the aspects that you want to add in that have spoken to you. And some of them are directly about food themselves, like a particular food maybe, or a particular, you know, macronutrient ratio or things that are very food related. And then some of the book is not really related to food. It's related to some of the other things that happen that lead us astray, that lead us to food and to be where we are in an unhealthy or a toxic relationship with food, just like we could be in a toxic relationship with a person. We can be in a very healthy, loving, and supportive relationship with food if we learn which ingredients work best for us. And that's how we build the recipe. And that includes looking at how we're thinking. That includes looking at how we're feeling, our emotional bodies. That includes looking at our nervous system. That includes looking at our metabolic profiles. That includes really bringing our own spin, our own ritual, our own ways of being with food that feel good to us. And that is really what the recipe part is about. So thank you for asking that. I love this.
Oh yeah. It's an intriguing question. And also it just points to the fact that your book is so completely different than something like a cookbook or a diet book. it's really on a whole different scale than those kinds of books, although all of those kinds of books, including yours, are dealing with food. And I'm guessing that that's what it means to be a functional nutritionist, as you are, that leads wellness retreats, is you're not just looking at one aspect of things. You're looking at the spectrum of everything that's related to food and to empowerment around, well, life in general, but what you eat and how you eat for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And I think functional nutrition, the best way to kind of like succinctly define that is like, how is food impacting each of us uniquely on a cellular level? And when we understand that more, and that is somewhat determined by science and somewhat determined or experienced, I should say, as how we feel. So it's, you know, food is giving us many symptoms. Some of them are really good, like a great night of sleep or a really high energy productive day or pleasure sharing food with people. And then food can also be really bringing us down if we're not aware of what we're doing. And so, are we getting a stomach ache? Are we feeling lethargic? Are we, you know, having cravings that are out of control? And these are some of the things that can happen when food isn't working in the way that it could be. And that there's so much potential to shift it. In fact, a lot of the shifting is very close to immediate. Like, it's amazing how we can change how we feel with one meal or a few days of getting our blood sugar stable or a few days of eating foods that are closer to nature. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take that long, you know. Yeah. It's pretty quick. And so that's where I think we can turn to the experience of how we're feeling with food and how food, yes, makes us feel. And we, yes, can start to learn to eat, to feel how we want to feel. And that's really what I want people to be empowered around, is we have choice. We might need to do a little research on ourselves. We might need to play detective for a little bit, but we can absolutely learn to eat, to feel how we want to feel.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
It's science. Thank you.
I worked with you. So we worked together on your book proposal, but I also worked with you as a nutritional client.
That's right. And that's right.
Right. I want to just share a couple of things that I learned that were mind blowing to me. So I have worked on my eating for my whole life, and not that I had a really big problem, but I think I came from some dysfunctional eating in my family. So I've always been interested in improving that. And when I worked with you, two things I realized that really shocked me. One, I was eating way more sugar than I thought. That was so sneaky. Sugar was coming in all these sneaky ways that I didn't realize. And two, that I really wasn't eating as many vegetables as I thought I was. So I had these concepts of my healthy eating, quote unquote, my healthy eating, but it wasn't quite true. And that was really eye-opening. We did a lot of other things too, but that was super eye-opening. And I think about you every time. I'm like, this is actually not a vegetable you're eating right now.
Well, it's like, you know, we get into these habits and patterns and we just kind of follow along with sometimes out realizing what we're doing, and things just become automatic. And it's like, when we just stop and pause and do just a little assessment, it's amazing what we can uncover in just our automatic behaviors. It's amazing.
Yes. It is amazing. I realized also that I got used to, these are my foods. And so when I had to look at them again, I was really shocked to realize that they weren't, not all of them were really good choices anymore. That was very eye-opening. So very interesting.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that you were able, yeah, to recognize those things. I know we all have them, you know,
yeah.
It's like, I think that's like, for me, I love to do seasonal resets, and I believe that it's really helpful for me because like every few months, it's like, come back to center, reassess, check out what you're doing, take a minute of inventory and just see what's going on and what's like kind of come in, what's left, where are you like dancing with, you know, the balance of everything with food and with all the other elements in your life that impact your eating, and just have a moment to just check in. It's like, that's not even that hard, but it's just, we don't give ourselves time and space for that.
Right. Well, we don't have rituals really around checking in seasonally or checking our diet or detoxing seasonally. Maybe we do it with friends or with family or a group we're involved in, but we don't culturally have that. Like, we really have to make an effort to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does make a big difference when we have those bookmarked times, whether it's like every Monday morning before you start your week or every season or every day. It's like just a check-in. It can be so potent, such good medicine.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So switching hats a little bit, I'd love to like kind of quote unquote, look under the hood. First of all, I want to ask you about what life is like as an author. First, I want to ask you, you had 1 week as an author, your book published last Tuesday, April 9th. And you had 1 week, obviously a big week, lots of celebrations, lots of events and things. But it has been a journey to get to this point of having your book published. And I wonder, first of all, does it all feel worth it now that you have your book in your hands? And second of all, what does it feel like now that you are a published author? You can hold your book up and say, this is my book. This is all the things that I've worked on for so long. This is my philosophy. This is how I know I will be able to help you. So yeah, what's it been like?
Well, first of all, I feel like it's 100% worth it, but it's a total opportunity for growth.
Yes.
It's not fluff. It's like, there's moments where, you know, you're just really getting some big life lessons. And I know that looks different for everyone, but I can't imagine an author journey that doesn't have some internal growth and some possible challenging moments, you know, like
absolutely.
Some things that we need to work through. And so I signed up for that when I decided to write this book, and I consciously wanted the growth. I consciously wanted the experience. And so I was kind of like, okay, bring it, you know? And then of course it took its own journey and there was many layers to that. But so separate from just the book itself, like I feel like I have gained a lot of self-knowledge in this process. And so that's incredibly priceless and something I really value for in general. That's just something I really love. So that has been an incredible teacher. And then having the book, you know, here in the flesh, like in the physical, is so magnificent. It feels like I have been smiling so much, Joelle. Like I have been so happy this week. I've been so happy for a while as this book has been ramping up to be released. But last week, I felt like I was like at moments having like out of body experiences. I was just like, okay, I kept being like, no, you can hold this much excitement. You can hold this much joy. You can hold it. You don't need to push it away. You don't need to make it smaller. You don't need to, you know, talk down about it. You can just experience it, be authentic about it, share it when you are asked about it. And just really like, it's just like an opportunity to expand my capacity for what I can hold. And that includes joy.
And that's amazing.
Because like, I mean, that's what we're all here, right? For is to like live our best lives. And like, but I did not know I would be this elated. I did not.
That is really so incredible. So all the moments when you, like when you came to me and you're like, well, I have this proposal, but it's not working. I'm not getting any interest. And how do I fix it? And all the moments when you thought, I don't know why I'm not hearing back from this agent, or I wanted to be with this publisher, but it looks like that's not going to work. All that stuff is just smoothed over. You did the growth. You grew, you stuck with it. And at that point, you couldn't imagine how joyful you feel right now. But looking back from this point, it looks all totally worth it.
Yeah. You know, I think what I had to get okay with was rejection. Mm-hmm. And sometimes just kind of tell myself that it's nothing personal. You know, like there's just a lot for me, there was just some rejection in the process because it took a while to find an agent. And when I was really like reaching out to people cold who didn't know me, I mean, you know, there, it takes a lot for somebody to be really intrigued. They get bombarded with emails every day. Yeah. And so, you know, luckily I learned some really good pitching from you and had some really good support when I was querying agents. Similarly with Mary O'Donohue, who was very good about helping with in such important things like subject lines. I mean, you know, like things like that, where, you know, you are trying to capture somebody before they even open the email.
Yes.
And she had so much experience to share and has so much experience to share around that sort of thing. And, you know, I felt like I gathered this incredible team of women mostly that were helping me through all these layers. And I could not have done it without all of you. I mean, honestly, there were so many important people in this process. And I look back and, like, you know, I did my best to really carefully, like, put that together. And then sometimes I said yes to things that felt right, like that were not part of the plan. But, you know, it really took a lot of leaning in to people that had some expertise, and that was much needed in my journey. And it was so helpful, and I'm so grateful for it.
I think that's one of the secrets of being an author, is that you actually don't do it alone. It seems like it because it's your name on the cover, but even if you just look at the publishing house by itself, you've got the agent who got you there, you've got the editor, you've got the proofreader, you've got the copy editor, you've got the production people, you have the printer, you've got the marketing people. Like, that's already almost 10 people involved. And that's just when you get to the publisher. So we know there's a journey before that. I was on part of that journey with you, with your proposal. And then you have the journey after that, which you're in right now, when you're taking your book out and you've worked with Sue, and you work with Jenny Lisk to help you get your book out on this end of things. So that's a whole team that you put together to help you bring this into the world. So while it is all of your intellectual property and your ideas, experience, and all your love and your passion, it is also something that nobody probably can do it by themselves.
You know, I've been thinking about this a lot, Joelle, because, as you know, and some of the listeners know my story, but I have, like, an interesting background around support. Like, I, single mom, felt like I was doing the house, the parenting, the kids on my own. I moved to the US when I was 22. And so my entire family's in another country. So I didn't have a lot of family here. And then I'm an entrepreneur, and it's like, okay, so I'm an entrepreneur and that's amazing. I love it. But, you know, it's a solo journey some of the time, and it can feel like, when we don't have the support we need, it can feel really up and down and really hard to be entrepreneurs and business owners. So I have those three things happening for the last two decades, and having a team in this book journey, including starting, you know, with you, really, all the way to now, is so good for my nervous system. It feels like this opportunity to heal some of those old stories that are not even related to writing books, but just related to feeling like I had to do everything on my own.
Yes.
And all these different people that have, like, edited the book and designed the cover and supported the proposal and given me all this feedback and coached me on different layers of the journey. I mean, it's like medicine for me. And so that's been really coming up a lot this week. I've been really feeling that. Yeah. Feels really good.
Maybe we should tell people how we work together, just in case they're curious.
Totally. So, yes, I will say some things, and then you have a lot of things to share, I'm sure, because your work is so amazing. I just want to make sure I do it justice. But basically, I wrote a proposal on my own. See, once again, I was just like, I can do it on my own. And, you know, I did put a good amount of time and energy into that, but I did not know what I was doing. And so when I was pitching it to agents, you know, I wasn't getting any responses. And anyways, our mutual friend, Kimberly Ann Johnson, she had reached out about my book journey and offered support at different junctures and different phases of the journey. But one of them was referring me to you. And just the name Brooklyn Book Doctor, I was like, oh my God, I need her. Like this book proposal needs a doctor. So it was just really organic. And so once I found you, you know, I was able to really get some really good support with revamping, not changing and losing the message, but just revamping and refining the proposal in a way that publishers and agents like. And I didn't know that, of course, because how would I know that, you know?
Right, exactly.
And there's only so much you can do on Google when it comes to these things.
That's right. Exactly. You did so well on your own. I think people have to work with someone on their book proposal, whether it's their agent or a friend who's been published or a book coach like me, because there's so much you can't see. It's such a particular formula of elements. And it's so hard to go it alone, but you did a great job. I mean, the draft you sent me was well done. It just needed some tweaking to take it to the place where an agent would say, like, yeah, I'm excited to work with you.
Yeah. And it was so integral. And I just want to say that the other part of our work that was so supportive was our mastermind.
Yes.
And Book Proposal Academy Mastermind. And then also Polish and Pitch Mastermind, where we were all pitching to agents and really like helping each other and celebrating each other and giving feedback and all of those things. That was so helpful. And I still feel super connected to so many of those women.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how when we build these communities, like I've been getting messages from them and people have been cheering me on still as this book comes out from those masterminds that you hosted. And amazing. I just really, it's these types of dynamics and relationships are so, so valuable.
So valuable, especially when you're undertaking a big leap forward, like you're doing with a book where you're really coming public with your ideas and presenting yourself to the world of like, hey, I have something to offer. I know something. I know it can help you. It's really nice to have your team, your base behind you. And community, fostering community is something that I really value personally. But I also have seen how incredibly effective it is for authors, especially first-time authors who are trying to reach that goal. And there's a lot of unknowns. And like you say, the growth edge is definitely there. It can be very powerful for people. And those who stick with it generally are the ones who succeed, like you did. And it will test you. So being in community with people who know exactly what you mean is a powerful engine for reaching the finish line and going all the way. That's what all what I do is about. Book Proposal Academy, for sure, my signature program, for sure has that growth edge. And then the little masterminds like Polish and Pitch are there for like let's re-up for a moment so you can pick it up and go a little farther with it. But the principle is the same, working together in community with people who are going through the same thing, with guidance that's serious and coaching and accountability, that's what moves things forward. I've seen it be incredibly effective.
Yeah, it was incredibly effective for me. And it still continues to feel like another place that has like a home for me, you know, like it's been great to be able to come and see your programs recently and check in with people. And it was great to come on the other day for your kind of little reunion that you had with a lot of different people from different masterminds and different programs. And it's just, you know, all of these layers make the book journey so much better and so much more manageable. And of course, so much more successful. It's very, very needed. So your work is so, and has been so integral in my journey. And also I feel like we've had these touch points along the way where even if I haven't worked with you on the proposal in quite a while, like we've stayed very connected and you know, there was times where I had questions or where I reached out and was just able to be like, Joelle will know the answer to that.
Which is so important where you're like, I don't know what to say in this moment. Or like, should I do this or should I do that? I don't know.
Yeah, totally. So it's, as I said, a team is where it's at. And I think it's like that with so many things that we do. I think it's like that with food. I think it's like that with you know, different things we're going through in our lives, if we have the support we need, mm-hmm. if we have the team, if we're dealing with a health issue, if we're dealing with a divorce, if we're dealing with a trauma, I mean, all of these things require support. Mm-hmm. And I just don't mm-hmm. think we're meant to do it alone. And the book journey is for sure included in that.
Yeah, we need to be resourced so we can make good decisions and be connected.
Yeah. And it's like helpful to be reminded of like who we are or what we're doing or why we're doing it.
Especially why we're doing it. That's a big one.
Especially in those moments when we're just kind of like feeling overwhelmed or feeling like a little disheartened or feeling like we've lost our motivation or our gusto, and to be reminded like, wait, this is why you're doing this. Remember? And those moments have been really helpful for me.
Having That's others amazing. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We all need that. So now your first week is over, but you've got lots more things on deck. So what's coming up next that you're excited about?
You know, I've been being guests on a lot of things and that's been super fun. So I just kind of have a whole kind of calendar of podcast appearances and some, I'm doing a really fun, video live tomorrow with Walk the Talk show with Waylon Lewis, who's here in Boulder, who I've known for like over 20 years as well, like Elephant Journal. And I've written for them a lot. So that will be super fun. I did go out to Miami to record on the Plenty podcast with Kate Northrup in January, but we've been saving the publish of that video. It's like a video podcast. So that's coming out soon. And I was just on Instagram Live with her earlier today, actually. So I'm really excited about that because that was like my first, you know, fly somewhere and go be featured on this podcast. And luckily I knew her. So that was kind of comfy and a little bit of a nice way to experience something like that. So there's so much fun. And we're having a virtual book party in May. That's going to be great. I had a really fun book launch in Boulder and I was so grateful to have so many people there that I love and cherish, but there's also so many people who can't come to those things who are not local. And I'm so excited to be able to have something virtual for all the people who want to celebrate with me. So it just continues to unfold. It's so fun. And I'm just kind of on it, like rolling along on the ride, just kind of taking it all in.
That's fantastic. Well, just huge congratulations. It's just such a beautiful book. And I've been reading and learning and enjoying so much. Like, I love your subtitle, your headings. As a book person, I'm like, nice headings. Great.
Oh, that's so funny. Cause I was like obsessing over those heading titles for so long.
Yeah. You've got like a lot of information, but not too much. You know, that's what we need. We need just a little bit of time, just parcel it out so we can digest it.
Exactly. Thank you. That means so much to me. Thank you so much. And thank you for being here and just touching in with me and really being a supportive force in my life. I really appreciate it.
It's totally my pleasure. And I'm so glad we could do this today. It's so fun. So fun to talk about it now that the book is real and hold it up and go, yay, Sue, you did it. Here it is. It's going to help so many people.
Thanks, Joelle. So good to be.
Thanks, Yay. Sue.
All right. We'll be in touch.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
It is such an honor to spend time with you here on Satiate. And may this conversation be of benefit. From my heart to yours, I wish you health and happiness for the coming season. And may we meet again here very soon.